The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. It's been erased like a blackboard, rebuilt and erased again. But baseball has marked the time. This field, this game, is a part of our past, Ray. It reminds us of all that once was good, and it could be again. Oh, people will come, Ray. People will most definitely come.
Now, from the Savage Studios, this is the Savage Empire, with your host, Mike Trainer.
This is indeed the Savage Empire. I'm your host, Mike Trainer. Good to be back. Good to have you all back. Welcome to new listeners. You're going to love it here. Baseball is indeed back. Yesterday, the players in the league finally agreed to a new collective bargaining agreement that will last 5 years. So it's 5 years until we have to go through this shit again. So enjoy these next 5 years. But before we dwell on that, we have now. Yesterday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, free agency opened. And while if you listen to the K show, and I don't know why you wouldn't, he expected a frenzy, and the frenzy did not come. A little bit disappointing. We were all ready. I posted a big speech about it on Twitter. Makes me look like an idiot now. But we were all ready for the Yankees to just start collecting players left and right. Boom, boom, boom. This roster should be set. After all, players report to camp tomorrow. So we possibly will have players on this team tomorrow that will not be here in a few days. So how fucked up is that? Because, you know, the regular season starts on the 7th now, from the 31st. They will play a full 162. So basically, the games that we missed, and it'll only be the first week, so the four against Texas and the three against Houston, will be made up as doubleheaders. Most likely the Houston series will come at the end of the year, so that might be interesting stakes. But somehow they'll figure out a way to get four games in against Texas, most likely when they come to the stadium. I think they're surrounded by a day off before the series and a day off after. So my guess will be somehow a doubleheader on that Thursday and a doubleheader on that Monday to bookend the series. So that's going to be crazy, but that might be the only way to do it. Anyway, so spring training starts tomorrow. Although players are reporting today, but they have to be there by, I believe, Tuesday the latest. So they're all going to be there. I'm sure some of them are pretty much there as it is. Now, you know, we still don't have a shortstop. We don't have a backup center fielder, technically. I mean, if you believe in Aaron Hicks and possibly him staying, healthy this year, then I guess we have a center fielder. There is no more Brett Gardner, and God willing, they do not bring him back because this experiment needs to end already with him. I feel like he's been on this team 75 years, and if you listen to this show, you know how I feel about it. And I'm a Gardner fan. I know some of you find that hard to believe. But at some point, you got to let him go. Surely, there's a cheaper option out there that can do just as much as he did offensively and defensively. But we're not going to dwell on Brett Gardner. He's not on this team right now. If he comes back, then I'll have an epic meltdown. You guys will enjoy that. So, you know, fun for you. So, you know, they have to address that. They lost out on Carlos Rodon, who ended up signing with the San Francisco Giants today. So there has been some moves. The latest rumor out there currently right now, and this is at March 11th, and it's about 6 p.m. So if something happens after I post this episode, then, you know, you'll know. As of right now, currently, the rumors out there are that the Yankees are high on Freddie Freeman. It's between them and the Dodgers, which is weird. Haven't heard any details on what the possible offer could be. Also, everybody wants to know about shortstop. We have a big gaping hole at shortstop. Most people believe that it's going to be a stopgap solution, like a Andrelton Simmons, or, you know, somebody like that, for a year or two until Peraza is ready or Volpe is ready, or Volpe. I think it's Volpe. We'll say Volpe. That's how much they believe in these guys. Although, only one of those two is going to be the shortstop. I would say 90% of Yankees Twitter out there really wants Carlos Correa. And I'm all right with it. After some long thinking, after changing my stance on cheating, and it's not because he was a free agent. If you go back to earlier episodes, you will hear that if baseball conducts themselves as shady as they have been over, you know, forever, and the way they act now, then if the players and teams cheat, so what? It doesn't even matter anymore, because the league has cheated itself with, you know, the balls last year, you know, the souped up balls for the suit, you know, the games that are get them high ratings, and the dead balls for, you know, the games they didn't give a shit about, which, in, you know, in turn hurts the players' numbers. So, you know, a lot of guys who are free agents this year might lose out on money because, you know, their numbers are players in arbitration. Because it's going to be like, oh, your power numbers are cut in half. Yeah, I wonder why. You deaden the balls. So, if the league doesn't have a problem cheating, then how can I hold a team and players to the same standard? But I've covered this before. I'm just recapping. It's been a while. So, you know, if they were to bring Correa on, I'd be fine with it. And now, it seems like the money and the threshold will be going up. So that means possibly that there is enough money to re-sign Aaron Judge. And that should make everybody happy. So it shouldn't be a, you know, this guy or this guy type of move. Now the Yankees can blow by things, and there's trades to be made, I'm sure. And there's going to be payroll coming off, you know, as this year goes on, I'm sure. Just depends on what Hal and Cashman want to do. All right. They're still looking into Matt Olson, but reports are that the asking price is incredibly high and the Yankees are not willing to trade Volpe. So if Oakland is dead set on Anthony Volpe, then it's not going to happen. And I know a lot of you are like, he's a prospect, there's no guarantee, but the Yankees are all in on this kid, and I think at this point in time, you need to accept that. They're just, I don't see them moving him. And if they do, I'll be shocked. But they seem to like this kid. They think he is the, you know, the next superstar. So, you know, it's time to get off of that one. Correa could eventually move to third, you know, but there's so much in-house stuff that has to be done, because you have to figure out what you're going to do with Luke Voit. Because if you're looking at a first baseman like Freeman, if you're looking at trading for Olson, if you're looking at bringing Rizzo back, then you've made Voit expendable, because there's really no place to hide him. And to platoon him is a waste. So you're going to have to move him. Glaber is going to be the second baseman. That's just the way it is. So what do you do now with DJ? Is he going to be the Swiss utility man that we signed him for? What the original plan was? You know, a little bit at first, a little bit at second, a little bit at third. Just move him around, giving the guys a day off here and there. Or do you try to move Urshela and move DJ there full time? Or are we going to bring in a third baseman and then move Urshela or DJ? I don't think we can move DJ, but, you know, there's question marks here. We still, you know, maybe possibly need another starter because I don't know if they're going to put no restrictions on Severino, but can you count on him for 200 innings? I would be very careful with him. He hasn't pitched a full season in, what, three full seasons? That's a lot to expect on him. And I know a lot of people are, like, hyped up about him, but you got to think about it. They have to baby him if, you know, if they're going to unleash him in the playoffs, which means he's going to skip starts throughout the year just to save his arm. They're not going to free him. So, you know, Tylon is going to miss probably a couple of the, well, I don't know. I mean, if the season starts on the 7th now, how he might miss a week or so. I don't really know his updated injury status because there hasn't been any news. We'll find out as these guys get to camp. But he's coming back from an injury. You know, Michael King belongs in the bullpen. I think he's carved out his perfect role on this team as the long inning relief guy. You know, throw him here when you need him. I think he's much suited for the pen, so I wouldn't even mess with him. Clark Schmidt, can you count on him? We haven't seen enough. I would like to see more of Luis Gil. I think, you know, he should compete. You know, Herman, I think we all kind of feel about Herman, and I think he's a good fifth, number five guy. You know, Monty. Monty's a good four, possibly a low three. I don't think anything more than that. He's going to be an average to, you know, good pitcher, steady. And then, you know, you got Cole. And what's Cole going to be like this year? Because, you know, after last year with the sticky stuff and, you know, the constant changing of the balls. It's weird saying that. And he got roughed up, and he was a little bit hurt last year, so we kind of got to watch that. Now he's in, you know, he's a year older now. You know, they have depth at pitching if you look at just, you know, by bodies. But do they really have a complete rotation? I think another guy could be had, and that's why they were interested in Rodon. And, you know, he's gone now. That's why they made an offer for Verlander before the lockout, and he signed with Houston. So, you know, they're thinking about it. Don't be surprised if they go get somebody. Now, I don't know who else is out there. You know, things are going to come fast. So I'm hoping, you know, that we have news. Now, if they make big signings, then I'm definitely going to do a show. You can take Kershaw off the board. He just re-signed with the Dodgers. So there's that. Not that I think the Yankees were going to go after him. I think Kershaw pretty much done. Ooh, this just came in. So you don't, for, hey, you're going to love this, all right? And by the time you hear this, you wouldn't have known anyway. But Simmons to the Cubs for $4 million plus incentives. So I'm going to retweet that. You'll hear it over the thing here. So, good. And I'm just scrolling through Twitter here real quick because I want to make sure that I'm not missing anything. So that's good. So no Simmons. So the stopgap option there is good. That's the guy that everybody thought we were going to bring in. Zach Greinke is out there, but, you know, he's never wanted to come here before. So I don't know what's going to happen with that. I wouldn't go for him anyway, because I don't know. But you know, the pitching held up last year, but can they improve? I think they can. I think they kind of have to. You know, doesn't have to be an ace-like pitcher, but somebody who can be reliable. So, you know, I'm sure they'll look into all options, possibly a trade, you know, because there's guys that have to be moved. You know, maybe shore up the bullpen a little bit more, but the bullpen has been pretty steady. And, you know, as spring training goes along and other people emerge on the team, then we'll see what's going on. But it is all about the offense. We don't have a shortstop. And do you feel good going into the season with Luke Voit and DJ platooning? And they're both right-handed. So, you know what I mean? Do you bring back Rizzo? Because what if Rizzo comes off the board here? Then you got to be all in on Freddie Freeman or pull the trade, you know, on Matt Olson. And it just depends on what you're willing to give up and what will get it done. And if they want a real, you know, treasure chest, they're looking at like probably four of our top 10 prospects. Are you willing to give that up? Now, granted, he's 27 years old. He's a stud. I get it. I don't know. I don't know if the Yankees are willing to pay that. I feel like they're probably willing to move a few guys. And in their top 10, there's like three shortstops. So they got to move one of them. But Volpe isn't going to be the guy, apparently. So we'll see. So here's what's going to happen here. So from the CBT yesterday. So there's going to be an expanded playoffs. And they want it 14, but it's going to be 12. So there will be three division winners, three wild card teams in each league. The top two division winners in each league will receive a bye for the wild card round. Unlike single elimination games with the wild card in the past, now remaining four teams per league would play a best of three wild card series. The third division winner will be the highest seed in that group, with other clubs sorted by their win-loss record. Top seeds in each matchup will host the entire series. Wow. Will host the entire series. So they don't even travel to the visiting ballpark. That makes for the Yankees, winning the division is a must to have home field throughout. No, that wouldn't work. That's just for the wild card, right? It has to be just for the wild card series. Highest seed in each group, with other clubs sorted by win-loss. Top seeds in each matchup will host the entire series. Does that mean for each round? Because that's weird. Why would teams go for that? I must be reading it wrong. I'm assuming it's just for the wild card round, but I don't know. I'm going to have to look into that some more. If you know it, definitely let me know on Twitter. No more tiebreaker games. So they're going to treat it like football. It's going to be so if it's identical records, it's going to be tiebreakers. Tiebreakers, probably divisional records and things like that. Universal DH, so that will be great. Tired of this pitcher hitting bullshit when we got to play in the National League, losing one of our best hitters. There will be sponsored patches and helmet decals and, you know, it is what it is. So, increase in minimum salary. This is for the, you know, the kids, the younger players. Well, in 2022, this year, the minimum will be 700 grand. Next year, it goes up by 20. And then 20 basically up until the end of this term of the deal. So, at 2026, the minimum will be 780 grand. That's for minimum pay. So that's not bad. All right, so here's what we're looking at. So the luxury tax goes from 210 this year to 230. Next year, 233. 2024, 237. 2025, 241. 2026, 244. Penalties for exceeding the tax in consecutive years remain the same as the prior agreement. 20% for first time over, 30 for second consecutive year, 50 for third or more consecutive years. So that's a lot of money. I know they wanted a higher tax, but that's the compromise. Okay. New third level surcharge. In the last labor deal, the owners got a surcharge tax system in place that increased penalties for those going far over the threshold. These surcharges were set at two levels and added financial penalties to those that not only surpassed the CBT thresholds, but by how much. In each consecutive year, those penalties increase as part of what many are calling the Steve Cohen provision, air quotes. A reference to new Met owner Steve Cohen, who is expected to spend lavishly to try and win. The league got a third level, which kicks in at 290. So if he takes his payroll to 290, that's crazy. As in the case of exceeding the base thresholds, offenders get penalized by increasing amounts when doing so in consecutive years. So if he takes this over 290 and keeps it there for a few years. So exceeding the first surcharge level, it's 32% first, 42% for a second consecutive year, 62% the third or more consecutive years. Exceeding the second surcharge is at 62% first, 75% second consecutive year, 95% third or more consecutive years. Now, exceeding the new surcharge, the Steve Cohen surcharge, 80% first year, 90% second year, 105% third or more consecutive years. If he goes 290 or more for three consecutive years, it will cost him 105%. Now, let's say he's at 290. So he would pay $290 million plus 5%. I don't have a calculator with me. I'm not a math genius, so you get the picture. That's a lot of money. Now, my only problem with this, and I'm pretty sure this wasn't addressed, at least that I haven't seen yet, is that the poverty teams that get this money from a Steve Cohen, from a Hal Steinbrenner, if he ever decides to go over the luxury tax, or the Dodgers, or the Red Sox, or Houston, anybody who wants to go past it, is that they are not required to put it into their team. They can pocket that money as profit. And to me, that is the biggest joke ever. And that would anger me as a player. And I'm sure it did, but it was something that they lost because these poverty teams, apparently they yield too much power. So the fact that they don't have to, spend that money, and, someone like Steve Cohen doesn't give a shit. He's worth $15 billion. He's going to spend. He doesn't care. If it gets him a World Series ring for the city and his fans and everything, he's going to be a god. He doesn't give a shit. The poverty teams who are never going to try to win, like Miami, and we'll get to that in a second. Baltimore, other shit teams, Tampa, even though Tampa's a good team, they don't want to pay shit, even though I heard they made an offer for Freddie Freeman, which I thought was kind of funny. Like, really? Can you afford that? So, anyway, it just bothers me that they're not made to spend it. So, anyway, new pre-salary arbitration bonus pool, okay? A brand new aspect in the addition of a bonus pool to reward players that perform at high levels before they enter salary arbitration. All clubs will pay into the pool, which will be $50 million that will be distributed to the top 100 players based on awards and statistical performance. The system to determine that statistical performance will be worked out by the league and the union and is likely to follow war or some variation. So they're going to use war. Player wins MVP or Cy Young gets an extra $2.5 million. Second place voting 1.75, third 1.5, fourth and fifth $1 million. Rookie of the year gets $750,000. What is that? So rookie of the year's runner up, I guess. Second place voting gets $500,000. Why did he write it like? Sorry, I'm reading something wrong. Anyway, a player can only receive one bonus per year. If a player wins two of the awards, like a pitcher winning the MVP and the Cy Young, they will only receive the one bonus with the higher value. So if an MVP pitcher wins the Cy Young and comes up second place in the MVP voting, he'll only get the Cy Young $2.5 million. All right, whatever. Out of the pool and money not claimed by pre-salary arbitration players, through the awards will be distributed to the top 100 by defined WAR system selected by the league and union. Under this system, NL Cy Young Award winner Corbin Burns would have seen his salary jump from $608,000 to $4.2 million last season, while Rookie of the Year winners Randy Arozarena and Jonathan India would have seen their respective salaries more than triple. Guess, you know, it's all about these guys making more money. That's just the way it is. As part of the new labor deal, all players in salary arbitration will see their salaries guaranteed. Okay. And this was the last major thing that they were fighting over yesterday. Apparently, from what we had heard, the league had sprung this on the players at the last minute and was kind of like trying to fuck with them. There will be an international draft. For more than 20 years, the owners in the league have sought an international draft where cost certainty can be determined by slots and control corruption in Latin America, where pseudo-agents have skimmed huge percentages out of signing bonuses off young players. The players have been opposed as they saw it as controlling the free market. It's not a done deal, but if the union accepts the new international draft by July 25th of this year, the league will eliminate the qualifying offer system that is used for direct draft pick compensation for free agents. So the details would be 20 rounds or over 600 players selected. Signing bonuses would be guaranteed. In countries that are emerging less than that 0.5 of international signings over the last three signing periods, clubs that select from those countries will get additional selections to foster scouting and development from emerging markets. Don't know what that means. Total value increase from prior labor deal to the 22-26 deal to amateur signs expected to be approximately $20 million. Draft picks would be allowed to be traded. Okay. According to the Associated Press, a team losing a free agent would receive a draft pick compensation based on revenue sharing status and whether a club has been over the luxury tax threshold. For a free agent who had spent the entire season with one team, there would be four compensation tiers based on $25 million in guaranteed salary or $18 million annual average salary, third round pick for revenue sharing payee, $55 million or $23 million annual value. Comp B pick for revenue sharing payee, third round pick. You know what? I'm going to skip all this. It's a little mumbo jumbo. New draft lottery selection system. In effort to stop teams from tanking to garner the highest draft pick, the league and players agreed to a new process that is closer to what the NBA does. Now the top six selections in the Rule 4 draft come via lottery selections. Odds would run in reverse order of a team winning percentage that season before. The bottom three clubs would have a 16.5% chance of winning the first selection in the draft. Okay, so that's good. There's a lottery system now, and that will stop teams from tanking. But, you know, chances are these teams are going to get good players anyway. And they're just going to... So the Cubs signed Simmons, but they're not out on Correa for being reported here. So I guess that's understandable. Just checking here real quick before I go back. Nothing yet. Okay, nothing yet. I will continuously check Twitter as we go on. Okay, so the 18 non-postseason clubs would be eligible through revenue sharing payees, would be ineligible to receive lottery selections in three consecutive years, while non-payees would be ineligible to receive lottery selections in consecutive years. Options limited to help slow service time manipulation. For years, the players have accused the owners of keeping minor league ready prospects down the minors in an effort to manipulate their service clock and keep them under control for an additional year before they hit free agency. Now, players will only be able to be optioned no more than five times down to the minors before they would move to waivers to try and slow the practice. In addition, there are now draft pick incentives for clubs that promote top prospects and avoid service time manipulation. Okay, so they're rewarded for, you know, promoting players that are ready to go. Imagine that. Shortened period for commissioner to implement on-field changes. Okay, so in the last labor deal, Manfred had the ability to unilaterally make on-the-field rule changes with 1 year's notice, and the new agreement has been shortened to 45 days. Manfred sees this as a key to growing the pace of the play. New joint competition committee. As part of the change, the league and union will create a new joint competition committee that will be comprised of four active players, six members appointed by the league, and one umpire. As part of that effort, beginning in 2023, they will be tasked with rules around pitch clock, enlarged base sizes, defensive shifts, and eventually an automatic strike zone. I'm sure the umpires aren't going to go for that. 500 million grievance dropped. So there was a lawsuit against teams that were tanking, the Pirates, Rays, A's, Marlins, for misuse of revenue sharing. That got dropped. Increased in number of international exhibitions. So looks like there'll be tours in Mexico, Asia, Puerto Rico, London, Paris, and Dominican Republic. Other changes, a voluntary scouting combine for amateur prospects, a new policy for the players governing commercial arrangements with sports betting companies. Huh. Okay. Improved benefits to former players. Okay, nice. That's interesting. So, all in all, not a bad deal. Was it what the players 100% were going to get? No. Was it 100% what the league was going to get? No. But eventually they came to an agreement and, you know, I'm sure there's going to be issues down the line, but the players, they did all right this time for themselves. And I'm a big union guy. I'm always going to be on the working man side. And I know, you know, a lot of you might like that because, you know, you're trying to compare yourself to an athlete and you should take that out of it because it's different. But they are the product of the game. They got screwed the last two times, taken to the whooping shed. And, you know, did they try to hit a grand slam? No, but they, you know, they hit three singles and a home run. Take that for whatever you think it's worth. They did all right. So, looking at the rumors here, we got the Olsen rumor, the Yankees wanting to move Voit. Probably trying to desperately include Voit into that trade for Olsen just to get rid of him. It's Yankees have pre-lockout interest in Michael Conforto. Wow, I didn't know this. This came out yesterday. So they checked in on Conforto. Huh. Why? Conforto would seem like a good fit in Yankee lineup. The Bombers are short on left-handed bats, and though Conforto slots in most naturally as the new everyday left fielder, he can also play right. In the event of an injury, Yeah, but we got enough guys. I mean, you got Gallo and you got Stanton who can play left and right. So, you know, we need something for Hicks. You know, because Judge can play center field for Hicks, but what if Hicks goes down long term? Then you're kind of fucked. So, I don't know. Conforto would really fit. He didn't really have the good year last year anyway. So, former news, Yankees hired Hensley Mullins as assistant hitting coach. Blah, 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 blah. Nothing new there. Gardner planning to play in 2022. Of course he is because, you know, we can't get rid of him. So, that's pretty much the news right there. Let's check Twitter one more time and then we will end the episode if nothing is breaking. So, bear with me here. Cole Hamels is planning to pitch again. The Yankees had trade interest in Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. And so that'll be a name now that's going to take hold. So Rodon to the Giants got $44 million over 2 years. No opt-out. So that's it. That's pretty much it. I'm not seeing anything popping up here. But before we go, I'll tell you a quick story of why I have been off for a while. I guess it's been about a month now since I posted my last episode. One was I got tired of the lockout. There wasn't anything to report. I didn't want to talk about the bitching and the bickering going back and forth. It wasn't interesting. I know other podcasts have covered it, but to me, it felt like a waste of recording time. That's number one. There wasn't really any news. Two was I had been trying to get a job as a railroad conductor with Norfolk Southern, and so I was involved with that process, physical and things like that, and it didn't pan out. So I have more time now for this, which is good news. So it doesn't make me feel bad for, you know, what the future of that job would have brought to this, as this is really something I enjoy. I hope you all enjoy listening to it. I was never going to stop. It might have been longer stretches because of the high demand of what that job would have brought in terms of hours and days off and things like that. And if you knew what that job entailed, you'd be amazed that I would be able to record once a week, you know, as I would try to do now. But it doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon. So I am going to dive headfirst into making this show better. I know I've said that in the past, but this time I'm really going to look into things to make it a lot better. I'm going to, at some point in the future, I don't know when, so don't hold me to it, going to turn this into a YouTube channel. I would love to do that so you guys can see my beautiful, handsome face. Or not. And, you know, just do really cool things. I would like to explore the possibility of what, you know, the technology and, you know, new tricks. Because, you know, I've been doing this now for a year and a half, almost 2 years. And have I gotten more comfortable doing it? Absolutely. Have I gotten the basics down of what to do to make this show presentable? Yeah. I don't really do much editing, as you can tell sometimes with the dogs barking and, you know, some of the noises in the background, like my chair and, you know, things like that. Cause, you know, it's kind of like, whatever, it's real time. And I would hate to like be in the middle of something and then have to go back, edit it and do the whole thing over. I don't use a script. Everything is off the cuff. Everything is, you know, as I think of it. So, you know, sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's bad. I tried using a script when I first started because I was told that was the thing to do. And when I was breaking down games and things like that, I would write a script and it made it a lot easier to do. But we haven't had games in a while. I kind of stopped doing that because I felt like by the time I would record, especially when I moved to once a week, because back then, in the beginning part, it used to be after each series. So to go back and then do like two series and one recap is kind of like, you already know what happened. We're past that. So I kind of stopped doing that. Still looking for a co-host. I would love to get that. So, you know, if you're interested, let me know. Maybe we can work something out. I don't make any money on this, so, you know, you'd have to do it for free because I ain't getting paid and I ain't paying you. I've done well by myself. So, you know, if you want to be a guest, you know, hit me up. I would love to start doing interviews. I know I've reached out to a couple people, but I haven't really followed up on it. Like I said, I've been quite busy. But I would like to start focusing more time and effort and energy into really making this into something because, you know, I've had a couple people that have reached out to me and they told me that they listen to the show every week and they're big fans. And you know what? That makes it worthwhile because, you know, I might not be the best podcast out there for Yankee news and things like that. And, you know, I'm certainly not in John Boy's realm and, you know, other shows like that. I'm not in the Breaking Balls realm. I'm not in Mike Scudero's realm and Yapping Yankees. I'm big fans of those people and I'm friends with them on Twitter and things like that. So, you know, I can use their names. But, you know, I'd like to be. And I think I can be with more effort and time and, you know, with the support of you people listening, because if you're not listening, then there's no point. But if you're listening, then I gotta do better for you. And I do appreciate that you guys have been listening. I appreciate that you subscribed. You follow me on Twitter. We engage because I engage with anybody. You reach out to me or if you, you know, comment on anything I post on Twitter, you know, I love it. And it's fun for me. And I usually comment back and, you know, it's a good time. And I love it. And I love doing this. And I would love to really turn this into something special. And unlike, you know, some of the big podcasts, and I'm not going to mention names for this one, I won't forget where I came from. And I certainly won't forget the people who put me there. You know, some people seem to be a little bit too preoccupied in themselves than what the product has, you know, been put out lately. And I listen to a lot of other Yankee podcasts because I want to learn from them. Some of these people are way better and I'm trying to elevate my game. And I think I do fine, but I can do better. But I'll never be in a position where I'm like, I'm too busy doing other stuff where this product will be weakened for it. Because I do have other ideas, and I'll say it now. I'm a big movie guy, movie and TV show guy. So I might do another podcast on like rewatching TV shows or rewatching some movies or watching new movies and then, you know, doing a podcast about that. And I think that would be fun. And I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys would listen to that. If everybody likes movies, everybody likes TV. So, you know, who doesn't need another one of those podcasts, right? But that's just one of the things I'm thinking about doing. And so I'm going to learn new tricks of the trade. And as I'm doing that, and once we have spring training in the season, then I'm going to be more engaged and each episode's going to get bigger and better. So to end it here, I do appreciate the support. I do appreciate the comments. I appreciate the listening. I hope you all continue to do so. Subscribe on whatever platform you listen to on. And I appreciate you all coming with me on the journey. And the journey comes with you guys being a part of it. Meaning, I'm not doing this by myself. You're all basically friends and family now. If you're giving me your time each week for me to record something for, you know, an hour, and you're listening to it and you like what I'm saying and you come back, well, that means the world. And I'm not going to forget that. And I'm certainly not going to, you know, big time you. I will take all of you with me on this journey. So I hope you stick around and continue. And I appreciate your time. And we'll leave it on that. If any big news breaks between now and over the weekend, I'm certainly going to record another episode on it. I mean, how could I not? If we sign, you know, a Correa or a Freeman or make a trade or anything like that, anything big, I'm going to get into it. As camp goes along, I'm going to do another episode. So, you know, buckle up, buddy. Buckle up and get ready. Because
it's time!
Thank you, Bruce. It is time. It's time for Yankees baseball. It's time for number 28. This is the year. We're going to win it all. Bring that fucking title back to the city. Have a fucking parade. Bring life back into the city. Bring life back into the Yankee universe. I can't fucking wait. And it starts now. Thank you all for listening. I'll see you soon. Subscribe wherever the hell you listen to podcasts on. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell your loved ones. Tell a stranger. Tell everybody. Shout it from the rooftops. Make sure they subscribe. Thank you for coming along with me on this journey. And of course, go Yankees.
Thanks for listening to The Savage Empire. Subscribe and leave a comment wherever you listen. Follow us on Twitter @ Savage Empire Pod. And of course, go Yankees.